All right, everyone, welcome to Prime Time, the office hours, stroke AMA for Prime, and whatever questions you might have for me. Please feel free to drop the questions in the office hours chat, and I'll get to them as soon as I can. With there being no questions in play right now, just a quick reminder to everyone to continue reading our roadmap, reading the Neos Wiki for the Contact in the Neos team page, and playing Neos. Just hang out, have fun. Quiet bunch today, aren't we? If you have any questions at all, drop them in the office hours chat. I'll be happy to answer them. That's why you're all here. If you have no questions, that's totally fine too, but we're just going to sit here in silence. So I'm making it awkward. Oh, the most amazing, amazing sentence. Someone has a question. I'm amazed. Please, please delight me with your question. I can't wait to answer it. Okay, so we have a question from Bat. This is a good question, so thank you for asking it. Bat says, is there any plan for account management as in changing usernames or emails and such? Right now, lots of that stuff goes through Shifty. She's amazing at her job and helping people out, but I would love for that to be automated. That will go into a lot of what will happen with like the website. So if you visit like auth.neos.com, you'll see the sort of new website framework. That's not what it'll look like. That's just sort of like a technicality thing. It's a technical thing. There's a lot of new endpoints and authorization there. That will allow things like changing username, email, and stuff like that. Those would be more sort of website features that you find on many other web providers. I'd also like to see if we can get those abilities in the actual game. The problem with them being in the actual game, sometimes those processes are a little bit complicated, and so you want to usually do them on a website because that's easier. But we'll see what we can do. Answer though being yes, I would love it if Shifty's primary job throughout the day was not doing stuff which could easily be automatable by a screen. I'm happy that she does it for us, but it would be great if she didn't have to. Same goes for Patreon. I want like automated Patreon linkage. That'll be interesting though, because what we'll basically need you to do is link your account. Like, you know how right now you have like it'll link automatically if the emails match. If the emails don't match, you have to like speak to Shifty, etc. It'll be like instead log in to Patreon and log in to Neos, allow Neos to access your Patreon data, and then it'll be able to see that you have a pledge to it, and it'll be able to link those together. I strangely have the sort of policy of always trying to make myself redundant when it comes to any sort of process that I don't think I should do. You know, when you think about like vacuuming, you're like, oh, can I automate vacuum cleaning? And that's how things like Roombas came up, and they haven't yet found a Roomba that doesn't eat my socks, so I don't like Roombas. Okay, we have some new questions, but a little bit about the Roomba first of all. Yeah, I agree. Like half the cleaning power of a Roomba is just making you pick up stuff. Like I used to use a Roomba. I wouldn't turn it on as much as I would like because I had to babysit it. It could never do like a full cleaning job. And even when it could, I didn't think it was doing a good job. So I purchased a regular vacuum cleaner and I pushed the vacuum cleaner around my apartment, how you would do it normally and manually. And it collected like way more dust than I thought it should have. And so I just haven't used it. Like, I don't think it's effective. It might be on like an exceptionally clean house, but like, there's like three pairs of slippers like in my like living room, and I don't really know why. And there's a sock over there. I don't know how long that's been there. Like, you know, you got to tidy up. It's crazy. I bought a second pair because I needed to launder my first pair. But then I realized my first pair couldn't be laundered. Because they had like the fluffy insides, right? But I wanted to clean the fluffy insides. I'm like, how do I clean the fluffy insides? And it's like, maybe just throw it in the laundry room? No, you can't do that. So I specifically bought a new pair of slippers that could be thrown in the laundry. Obviously, by itself, you wouldn't put it in with a full load of laundry. Excuse me. You wouldn't throw it in with a full load of laundry, but like you'd just put them in separately. As for the actual question, sorry, getting back on topic here. Rusio asks, I have a question about the WebSocket text message sender node. If the WebSocket client component has a separate user than user responsible for the impulse that is received at the WebSocket text message sender node, does that event get networked back to the other user or is it rejected outright? I have opened up the code base to take a look at that, and I'll also take a look at follow-up question there, which is, can I localize the WebSocket client component or would that not be advisable? So I'm going to go ahead and open up the WebSocket client component first and just sort of take a look at the, I pushed the wrong thing. I don't run Neos. Stop. Don't run. Oh, it's just building. That's fine. WebSocket client. Here it is, a component. It has the handling user property here. Handling user is null. Cool. text message received dot invoke text message received dot. Okay, so that would be the WebSocket text message receiver. Here we are. Client text message received. There is no network synchronization of the event, so it should only be from the user which the WebSocket is done by. Basically, we only open up the connection on the user that is in the handling user. So that's good there. Now you could, by the looks of things, you could values override or localize in whatever way you want to the component. The only issue there is that you'd have to localize as effectively as you can. I don't know how effectively you have to do this across the board. All of the properties. So there's URI, access reason, and connect retry interval. Those all sync, as in the value of those sync. And so if those all aren't localized, then you'll have a problem. Same with the is connected. Those all sync. So you'll basically have to like localize the entire thing. As it only connects to the handling user, it might be better to just like make, you know, say there's four users, make four copies of that component on a slot, so four slots, and use that, right? There'll be no overhead from doing that because it's only connecting on the user that is in the handling user property. Let's see what happens if the handling user is null. Connect to references. Help me out here, thanks. Oh, cool. Connecting user not equal to local user. URL is not. Yeah, should be good. Just make four. If there's four people, etc. So Gunner Griffin then asks, does the bhaptic support open automatically or does it require enable? It opens up automatically. Make sure that the bhaptic software, the bhaptic player, has like a green status and that you've tested it. If it's your first time. And then it should just run it a little bit like the Vive face tracker. I know the face tracker, like when we initialize it, we actually like will cause the software to run, which I think is quite cool. But I found that with bhaptics, it's better to run the software first, particularly because, you know, putting it on is an activity. So I put it on and then I make sure it's okay. And then I will then start NEOS. Whereas with the face tracker, like it's easy to start NEOS with the headset on your head, like the bhaptics vest is a conscious decision. In fact, all the bhaptics stuff is. It's like, let's suit up and get in. It's complicated. All right, I think we're up to date on questions. So if you have any other further questions, keep them coming. It's pretty of a quiet one today, but I'll still upload the recording. You guys can still read it. I'll try and trim the silence though. It's also awesome to see when you trim the silence how much time is actually spent on the office hours. We're sitting here for 30 minutes. That's the time. But maybe once you've trimmed the silence, it's actually 22 minutes. And that means, I've saved listeners 8 minutes by trimming the silence from my recording. Froppy, I see you typing. I'm expecting good things. We already answered that one. I'm not sure if you were here when we did. But thank you, Froppy. Froppy was asking if I had answered a previously asked question, and I did. No worries. We all need more sleep these days. Whilst I wait for another question, I'm going to go ahead and check my emails. I know this has nothing to do with you, but I have zero emails. I have no new emails. I'm ecstatic that that is the case. Oh, I just dropped some stuff on the floor. Then I will go. Anyway, we have a new question from Sorda Super, who says, a question. With all the tools for geometry creation in NEOS, are there plans to implement a material remover of some form or eraser? Would be wonderful when creating rough drafts of an FBX to export. More mesh editing tools are on our roadmap. I'm not quite sure what like sort of form they'll take. Something that comes up a lot is terrain generation of the sort of brush kind, you know, and you can sort of like go, hey, this area higher, this area lower, and also sort of carve through the terrain a little bit. That'll be cool. The tooling there could also probably be used for like an eraser when you're using the pen. Like, you know, when you use the tube pen, which is most pens that you use, they don't look like tubes because the dot's been shrunk small. It would allow you to do an eraser there. You can kind of do that right now, but that's only if you sort of write in a very specific way. You'll be able to just erase portions of it. With the mesh editing tools, you might be able to erase it like it was an actual, you know, pencil on paper. Let's say you draw, I don't know, like, let's say H, you might be able to just like erase half the H because you put the eraser tool through half the H. Thank you. Properly linked the GitHub issues for those. If you want to like see what might be possible, go back through Fruxus's YouTube channel and you'll see that there is a video I don't remember what it's called. I think it's World of Kalinias or something like that. It's an earlier version of Neos that was mostly sort of a tech demo for the Leap Motion that had terrain generation in it. And Griffin is asking for a, could we get a separate by loose parts option? Depends, like, how that would work. I'd have to look internally, like, how the mesh is converted. There's a concept in AssImp. Yeah, let's get your giggles out of the way, which is what's called submeshes. Also exists in the file formats we use, etc. It just sort of refers to like how a mesh is bucketed down. Separate by loose parts in Blender does it by its internal format as to other applications. And that's more sort of like, you know, if it can see that those vertices are separated. I'm just not sure like if the data structure is there that we can use. It's certainly a good idea. So hop it over to the GitHub if it's not already there. And do double check the static mesh already, because there are a bunch of options there. One might function close enough, like split submeshes. I thought that was an option. Which reminds me, if you're building stuff in Blender, please rename your objects and make them make sense. I'm so tired of downloading new avatars or new models and opening them in Blender. And like the model is just called like cylinder. It's like, great. So you made this fantastic avatar, which I just paid $20 for, and you couldn't be bothered to rename the cylinder to body, which is anything other than just cylinder, cube, or box, or whatever. Same with hard surface modeling as well. It's so much easier to navigate through. Let's say, like, I don't know, it's a like architectural piece, and you know, like, let's say it's a, you know, conference room. That's always an easy example. Like, the wall object is called box 22, and the floor is called box 50. Like, there's no rhyme or reason there. You know what it is because you're just clicking it. Just rename. Yeah, it'll be really easy inside Neos to figure out if you want to delete or move the walls or the floor. Kind of reminds me of some shoes, so I don't want to harp too much on sort of, you know, people who are not as familiar with the tools that they're using as possible. But I do occasionally find usually more sort of like anime-styled models where they've got shoes and they're wearing a particular type of shoes. And the reason they're wearing those shoes is because that's the customization they wanted. That's the identity they wanted. They wanted those cool shoes. That's fantastic. You've decided the pair of shoes that you want. But then you went ahead and you downloaded an architecturally correct or an anatomically correct shoe model and brought that into your avatar and then just glued it to the bone. At that point, you have like a million polygon shoe. And you go down, and I've done this a few times, you go down and you realize each individual eyelet for the laceless, that's the hole where the laces go through on the side of the like lacing area of the shoe, is like 20k tries itself, because it was meant to be a sort of close-up rendering model for maybe sort of promotional renders of the shoe, or to show off the shoe as like a skill of 3D model realism. It does feel like that. Griffin says polygon ballast, that it does feel like that sometimes. It makes perfect sense. Like, if you're doing sort of like a promotional model for a shoe, or you're testing rendering rather than gameplay design, You render that shoe as many triangles as you want. Like, it's going to render and it's going to look cool and you're going to get the effect that you want. If you're putting that onto an avatar, though, you need to use different models, different materials. That also happened once with, I think it was like a wedding ring or something. Like, you know, there was like a VR chat wedding and someone was like, could you put like a wedding ring on my avatar for me? And I'm like, sure, send me the Unity package. I can sort that out. And opened up, and then I opened up the ring they wanted on there. And again, it was like a million polygon ring. And I said, you realize you're going to see like 0% of this. Like, yeah, but it looks cool. And so I'm like, okay, let me try and decimate it a bit. So I decimated it down and I sent it to them. And they're like, oh, it doesn't look as cool now. And I'm like, it's going to be like a pixel or two on most people's screens. And if you're close up, it's still only going to be like a tiny square. Yes, that is a perfect representation of the problem. Imagine that, a wedding ring or the eyelet of a shoelace. I deal with a lot of architectural models as well. Those are interesting because those are made in architectural modeling applications. They're more designed to be true to the word, right? You actually need to build the building from that. Maybe it will output blueprints, you know, that the foreman for a project will actually look at and build something for. And so the model format comes out not that optimized for Neos, but the reason why it's not optimized is because it's like extreme detail. And this isn't even really in polygons. It's in sort of like all the sort of like gubbins. Like, just if you're in a building that's an apartment block like I am, walk in your stairwell and just like look at everything. Like, look at the way that like
The stairs above you look, the stairs below you look. Just like the handrails, how they're affixed, right? Because it's an architectural model. They've modeled all of that. And it's just like, ah.
Well, it was cool once. We were doing a sort of walkthrough of something we based on one of those models. And the person that was looking at it was like, it'd be great if the curtains were open. And I just shot one curtain with a mesh visibility tip because I had a feeling, and that feeling was correct, which was every single curtain was its own object within Neos. And so I shot the curtains with a mesh visibility tip, one curtain, and the curtains throughout the entire building just vanished. And it was beautiful. They're just like, that was quick. This is really cool. And it, like, you know, showed the power of them sort of using it as a tool for visualization. But I was also scared because if I shot the wrong thing, half the building would disappear. Like if you shoot generic white wall, it might take out like all of the walls because they're all sort of linked together because they want to export the mesh into like blueprint layers where it's like, you know, put up drywall here, concrete here, stuff like that. I think I just explained the odd interactions, Yoho. Yoho asked about the odd interactions with those architecturally thingies. Lux has a question, which looks to be interesting, so we'll go ahead and read it out for the recording. I have a rather more abstract involved question about data types and inheritance. Is there a plan to add detailed documentation about how data types actually inherit properties from one another on the wiki? For a contrived example, I know iCollider is probably interface for Box Collider, Mesh Collider, etc. So with this knowledge, I could presumably store just an iCollider data type and store all of the derived types into it, but it would help to get a more general sense of how all the different types fit together. The answer is yes, but only to an extent. There is some occurrences. I'm going to sneeze, so I'm going to mute and sneeze. Or is it a sneeze? It's going to disappear. It's disappearing. Okay. Damn it, I wanted to sneeze. There are some occurrences in that area where you guys are going too detailed. If you're using, like, sync ref, field ref, you're usually doing really advanced stuff. And I always worry about that. I'm like, how can we make that easier for you to do, because you shouldn't have to understand the entire sort of object oriented hierarchy of Neos to build something inside Neos. Collider is a good example of a case where you probably should, but additionally, I would probably want to abstract the whole iCollider concept into just a collider data type that transparently told you what was going on, but also made it easier for people that didn't understand what an interface was programmatically. What I mean by that is, like, if you pull away all the layers, you're basically dealing with raw C-sharp types, but should you have to? Regardless of that, though, there will be documentation on that in the future, and there will also be tooling, like I just said, to make those sort of easier processes for you. I see some people are just like, if I put this, like, incredibly weird, and I know you sometimes have to put weird symbols in various components, but they're, like, incredibly weird symbols in a component. I can do all these crazy things, and I'm just like, that's actually a feature request in disguise. There's no way you should have to do all of that craziness just to get that effect. So, Yoho, if you have a question, Lux, if you have a question, that's good. Otherwise, I want to cut it there as we are nearing the half hour mark. So please go for us and tape if you have a question. If not, whatever. you have the opportunity. Yoho wanted to see the April 1st badges for me. I couldn't get into a session with the limited time I had on ES that day to see them. As I am a developer, I can actually just turn on April Fool's mode myself and then run the game. So I'll go ahead and do that and get you a picture when I get the chance. Otherwise, I think that's it. So I will speak to you guys next week. Look for this to be up on the wiki, etc. Later. And I'll get back to you soon. Bye-bye.